local people, quick question. Have you ever thought to yourself, I've been passed up for a promotion, but I don't understand why? Or I want a change in my career, but where do I even begin? We know we're not the only ones that have had these questions, and that's why we started this podcast. It's called Gems for the Journey, and we hope that as you listen, you can discover some gems for your career journey. I'm Leah Murphy, and in my life, I wear many hats. I'll tell you about just three of them. I am an engineer by trade, a career coach, and entrepreneur, all while working hard to stay happily married and raise three beautiful children.
Ooh, that sounds like a lot of work, Leah. My name is Amma Gordon. I'm a brand marketer, entrepreneur, and serial passion pursuer with a business approach to my endeavors, but always with a creative spin. And we're two really great friends that have supported one another throughout our entire professional careers. I mean, we've been through it all, and we're here to share some authentic stories that include key successes and setbacks. You're not going to want to miss this.
Hi, everybody. This is Leah.
And this is Amma.
And we are really excited to bring you this podcast. This is our discussion around our entrepreneurs. And we're going to give a quick set of four takeaways that we recommend for entrepreneurs. Now, this is Amma's world. She is totally in her zone when talking about this. So I am going to.
Did you just say this is Amma's world? Let's clarify for a second. I am passionate about entrepreneurship. So as we continue to talk about career wins, Leah and I sometimes go back and forth, and I'm like, wait, do we do enough for the entrepreneurs? Do we do enough for those that are paving their own way? So that's what she means when she says, this is my world. This is my world of that I'm embarking upon, but I just am passionate about entrepreneurship.
Which is what I said, but okay. I got it. Thank you for the clarification for the people. Fan-freaking-tastic. This is going to be a quick episode. Great opportunity for you to listen to on a quick workout, or maybe even, if you're a curly girl, maybe while you're setting your hair. So this could be a good opportunity to take that pause, and we're going to get right into it. So how would you like to start off? What would you share is the first thing you would share with a new entrepreneur, someone considering embarking on an entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah, I'm gonna jump right in with a few quick tips. I'm just gonna start with four basic, small but mighty and powerful ones. And I just wanna ensure that everyone understands that these are tips, rules for the road that I have learned through my experience and the experience of my fellow entrepreneurs over the past few years. And, just know that these are tips, not necessarily wins, because this is a marathon. It's not a sprint in this world of entrepreneurship. So I'm just going to jump right in with the first one. And the first tip that I want to get into is about being intentional. Okay. And I'm going to go into a little bit about what that means. Being intentional means being deliberate, being explicit, and being clear in order to set the stage on what you envision your business or your venture that you're about to embark upon, what does that look like? And even before you write it down, it really starts with you, right? Who are you surrounding yourself with? Who are the people you're around, the places? And are you embarking and starting in on things that really inspire you? Like, are you passionate about this endeavor, or are you just kind of like doing it, right? So set the stage within yourself. Do you feel motivated? Are the people around you supportive? And do they foster innovative thinking and new ideas, right? So ensure that you're in that space first. And then once you're feeling good, you're feeling supported, and you're feeling inspired, it's a lot easier, at least I've found in my personal experience and a lot of the entrepreneurs that sometimes I team up with. At that point, it's way easier to make a plan. The juices start flowing, and you can tap into other people's energies and just the energy of the environments you put yourself in. And when you make this plan, ensure that it's an achievable plan. Yes, you can have a long-term vision, which I like to call a lighthouse, but ensure that it's an achievable roadmap that includes a day-to-day routine that works for you. During the intro, Leah talked a little about, if you're on a quick run or, if you're doing your hair. The same way you have a day-to-day routine for your personal life, you're going to ensure that in this plan, It includes what your day-to-day looks like to slowly chip away at that ice block that we're calling this new venture you're working on.
Okay, you guys hear all the energy in her voice, right? That's why I said it's her world. She's very
Oh,
excited.
do I sound excited?
You do,
Okay.
which is like great. That means
Okay.
it's so sincere and I love it. And
Good.
I know that that will resonate with people and that's fantastic. So, all right. So what would you say are some other critical must-haves as you think about your plan? What are the maybe some of the pre-steps, even before you get your plan in place? What are some other valuable things that people can do or start working on now as they're envisioning an entrepreneur opportunity?
It's funny you bring that up because it's not only something that you can work on now if it's just an idea in your head, but believe it or not, I truly believe that on the road to entrepreneurship, it starts way before you even realize that this is your destiny. It starts with the experiences that you have. It can even start from a small child, right? Because as an entrepreneur, you wear many hats, right? So it serves you to have a broad set of experiences that you can tap into at any time. And it may include something that you may have learned as, a small kid with your uncle, building, bookshelves, or it could have been as a teenager when you were a class president, or it could have been in college when you were a part of an organization. Maybe you were the treasurer, right? And as an entrepreneur, it's important to be able to have a diverse, well-rounded set of experiences, whether it be from corporate America or things you have learned. Because I don't necessarily personally feel that in order to be successful, you have to have went to college or you have had to go to a trade school. But you do have to have a set of skills and experiences that are broad enough for either you to be able to do yourself well or broad enough for you to be able to recognize when you don't have that expert skill set or that level of skill set that is needed in order to be successful in your business. So, with that in mind, while it may save you some time and maybe money in the short term, because usually if you're doing something that you're not really that good at, you end up spending more money in the long term. But while it may save some time to say so DIY, I'm a keen believer in ensuring that you're measuring the ROI, the return on your investment, from the beginning. So recognizing, hey, I have this expert level skill set in this area, but not so much in another. So while you may not necessarily be very good at this one task, let's say it's bookkeeping, right? So you need to have a budget. And you're not necessarily an accountant, and you haven't worked in a business environment where you manage budgets. But you may say you're a good saver. That doesn't necessarily translate to bookkeeping for a business plan. And the great thing about having such broad experiences, not only just professionally, if you came from the corporate world, but also personally growing up, is that it helps you expand your network. So you can build further relationships that you can tap into and find that expert. So you don't have to sort of be that DIY person that thought it was a really great idea when you saw it on TV. I know some of y'all folks who have watched HGTV or, the DIY network, and you're like, that sounds really
Guilty.
great, right? Me too. I am such a DIYer, it makes no sense. You went out and bought all the tools and, a week later, you got a call and a friend, you got to phone a friend in who does this for a living to help you. Just try to get ahead of that. Right. So, it's important to have these experiences, but even more so to take it a step further, recognize the levels of expertise you have within these experiences so you can then allocate, hey, this I can do and this I should outsource.
Okay, perfect. So when you're thinking about outsourcing, and you mentioned something in your comments around relationships and having a network. So, or I'm translating into having a network. So what are your thoughts on how important is your network as an entrepreneur?
Thank you for that bridge, Leah, because that was my third point.
Let's go.
Leverage, that's right. Leverage your network, right? And I think what's really great about a network is it's something that you don't necessarily have to focus on per se. And you know, this is arguable, and this will be interesting because I want to get Leah's take on this after my point. But when you have a network, right? We all know what a network can do, but I'll jump into it anyway, right? When you're an entrepreneur, especially, you know, it's you kind of you need to be a little scrappy sometimes. You don't have large budgets. You may have, you know, put sa some savings aside to invest into this. Other people may disagree and say if you're going to start a business, never use your own money. So now you're using an investor's money. So now you really want to ensure that you're getting the highest ROI, return on your investment, the biggest bang for your buck. But it's not necessarily about how much resources you have if it's limited, but how resourceful you are. And you know how you can be resourceful? By tapping into this network that you have, which may have started from a child, like I mentioned earlier. Maybe it's your church home. Maybe if you were a Girl Scout growing up, if you were, you know, on a basketball team, all the way up until if you happen to be, you know, crossing over from corporate America. There are people that have crossed your path. It could be the neighborhood person, neighbor. It could be the neighbor next door, right? That maybe you started off banging on their door because, you know, they're too loud or the kids are too loud or the dog's barking too much. And after a few knocks, you guys have started to have conversation. And now, you know, this person is a VP of a bank and they help with small business loans. So it's not necessarily something that you have to put so much effort into if you're truly passionate about what you're doing, because you'll come across people that you may have never even imagined just going to get a cup of coffee. It may be the music teacher that you had from 7th grade, or it could be the colleagues that you worked with at your previous job. So while, you know, it's arguable that people say, you know, make sure that you're intentionally going out and networking, I don't
Which
necessarily.
doesn't feel good to a lot of people, right? Like
Yeah,
that, sometimes people have
right.
a
It
hard
feels
time with that.
exactly. And that's why I wanted to get your take on it, Leah, because I think it feels a little salesy. Like you never go, you know, like a used car salesman. Wait, I know I feel it when people are coming up to me because they know my title, they know my background, they know my network, and they may know what industry I work in. So the whole conversation feels superficial, and I'm just waiting for it to be over.
Oh gosh. I think I agree to some extent. I think that networking within people you already have relationships with is obviously the most ideal, and it can be fantastic because there's a natural connection, and everyone, both of you, know that you have your best interest at heart. But I think at the same time, it can be limiting too, right? Because we only know who we know based on our experiences today, and if you want to grow and thrive, you want to expand that to other people. There are sometimes there are instances where you should definitely reach out to someone who's, you know, far reaching, once or twice removed, or a friend of a friend. And sometimes that can feel a little bit rocky. So, but I agree with you, and you dropped the bar on the people. So I'm just gonna like come back. It's not how many resources you have, it's how resourceful you are. That's a bar. Put that down somewhere. But you know, when you started calling out organizations you've been a part of for years, churches, different memberships, maybe you weren't thinking about it that way early on. But now, as an entrepreneur, it's a good, maybe even an exercise that people could do and say, I have this great idea. Let me write down all the people I know that could potentially help me with that idea or that plan or that business and reach out to them to see how many people are really in your network that could be helpful. I think that's just a good starting place as you're even just ideating.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, because when people think about, you know, this network almost as a tree, right? It's okay to go beyond the branches and to the leaves. You know, it's not necessarily just your, you know, first level connections or even your second level connections. But, you know, like I was mentioning earlier, it could be, you know, the neighbor that you didn't have any formal relationship with other than the consistent knocking on the door because there's, you know, loud music or what have you. Right? Or the coffee shop, you know, that you go to frequently and you start to strike up a conversation. And, you know, while I truly believe in being intentional about your plan, being intentional about the people you're around, I think that naturally feeds into what I also believe in about being passionate, which then allows you to leverage a network organically. Versus more from a sort of a car salesman point of view. Like, I'm only going to this event so that I can meet this one person and I am going to ensure that I close that deal. And it's like, wait a minute, wait a minute. Have you even done your homework on this person? Like, Do you know the interests that they have? Do you have any commonalities? Are they interested in anything related to your business, right? Have you done your homework? So is this going to feel natural? Is this someone
Right.
that you would have approached whether they were at this particular event or not?
Yeah.
Or are you only going to this event for that? It's very different. And honestly, because I've been on the giving end, right? The reach, the one to approach someone end, and also the receiving end. And from the receiving end, it's really, from my personal experience, really annoying. And you can tell it's superficial. And because naturally, right, when it's not organic, you can see people kind of searching for what to say. And oh, yeah, so I like your scarf, right? It's like, thanks, I
Let's
like it
not,
too. Right, I'm wearing
don't be
it.
that person. Don't
Don't be
be.
that, don't
But
be that
wait,
person.
you dropped a metaphor on the people. Like, you're like, you're gemming it up for the people today.
Oh, you know what? Let's rewind. It's not just the branches, right?
Yeah.
It's also the leaves, because you never know where your next client will come from. You never know where the next relationship that might help build something comes from. And they always say always be closing, right? And that's cool, right? We will get into the importance of ABC, always be closing. But before you can even do that, I say ABP, always be prospecting. Okay? And you can do that by tapping into your network. And just make sure you're doing it organically. You're doing it in a way that, really feels natural to you, because you've already been intentional about the people you're around, the places, you're in, and the environments you put yourself in. Don't force it.
Right. And if you've been sharing your vision and your entrepreneurial idea with people who are inspiring, that you respect, and all of those things, that's a natural connection. So if you did step one and two, you're in a good spot. All right. So now, fourth step, what do you say is the closing idea? What's the most important thing that we should leave the people with before we recap for them?
Yeah, so the ABC, always be closing. I'm going to translate that to delivering results. So point number four is you got to deliver results, right? And I don't just mean results, but I mean strong results. It is very hard to continue to build on a business, to build on a client base, to even continue to expand a network of potential clients through, say, word of mouth, if you're not delivering strong results. Right? You're only as good as the last accomplishment, the last project, the last whatever entrepreneurial venture or industry you are in. You're only as good as what you have performed or delivered previously. And the first step to delivering strong results, one, is really ensuring all are aligned on what the priorities are, what success looks like, and what the next steps will be to get to that experience. To get to that next step. I mean, it really, in a nutshell, it's managing the expectations on what you can deliver, which certainly ties back to what I said before, right? So you've intentionally made a plan that's achievable, including a day-to-day routine, which includes timing, right? So now we're talking about what the days look like, what the weeks look like, how long it takes you to do things. We've already talked about the broad experiences, right? So you know now what you have a high level of expertise in versus what you need to outsource, which could also tap into how much time something would take, how much it would cost, right? And then having the right people that you've tapped into that believe in your vision, and are supportive and are a part of this network, right, that you have been able to leverage. So manage the expectations within this, right? And so it's very clear what you can deliver, how long it will take, and who you need to tap into in order to deliver these strong results. And there's nothing wrong with under-promising and over-delivering.
Say it again. Tell the people one more time for the people in
Right? I know, and you can't see me waving my metaphorical hands right now. I'm like in the air, right?
the
That's the only thing about, doing a podcast where people hear you, but they don't necessarily see you. I'm waving my hands like
I see
there
you,
is nothing
I
wrong.
see you.
There is nothing wrong with under-promising and over-delivering if you need to deliver strong results. And what's really great about that is, sometimes you may need more time, Let's just be honest, right? We're all not perfect. But if you have under-promised previously and over-delivered because you accurately measured how much expertise level it would take, do you have it or do you not have it, and you know the right person, and you've said, hey, it's going to take me a week, you've managed the expectations, aligned in the priorities, aligned on this is what success looks like, and you deliver it in 5 days, that's amazing. Because sometimes, let's be real, in entrepreneurship, I know this has occurred to me, things happen. I don't know, national pandemics, global pandemics happen, right? Right? COVID-19 happens, right? COVID-19 happens. I don't think any of us, whether corporate America or entrepreneurs, could have foreseen that this global pandemic would affect, you know, everything that it has. And it's great if all it's done is slowed it down, right? But it's also important to manage the expectations, manage your own expectations of what can get accomplished. You know, if you needed to ensure that you could get a specific loan or something, investment that had to do with the banks, but now the banks are closed and only taking five at a time, or you have to call and now it takes you a week long to do something that previously you could have done online, manage those expectations. You know, hey, you know, you call up, text, email, ensure you're reinforcing the communication to your client, to your business partner, whoever it is, to recalibrate what that timing might look like as soon as you know, and manage the expectations.
So delivering results sounds like making the right investments so that you build up grace, because that at some point you'll need grace, right? Because there will be a challenge and you'll need people to be understanding and give you grace. But exactly. You can only get that when you've really delivered exceptional results all along. Because now it's like, oh, cool. If this is you, I trust you. I believe you're going to come through and deliver. People aren't, you know, scratching their head and getting uncomfortable because they've seen your track record of strong results.
Exactly. Because, you know, I mean, delivering results is delivering results, whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you're working in corporate America. And everything that Leah just said is the same approach I used to take when I was working in corporate America as well. You know, so once people can really understand and believe and trust that you do a great job, that you're reliable, and that you can manage the expectations and deliver when you said you're going to deliver or earlier, it allows a little leeway when sometimes you need a little grace, like you said, and things that are unforeseeable occur.
Okay, so 4 key takeaways. And then we're going to tell the people how to make the gems theirs. How did they, we dropped gems in this episode. How did they make their gems there?
So we talked about 1, being intentional about everything you're doing, including your surroundings of people, places, and things, and the plan that you make, being executable and achievable. Because one thing I didn't mention earlier about being intentional and making this plan is that you need a plan that works so you can work it.
Go for it. Say it again. Right?
We talked about a few bars that I dropped. You know, that is one that I really live by. You need a plan that works. So when I talked about that first point of being intentional and making a plan, please make a plan that works so that you can work it. 2, broad experiences that you could have sort of stockpiled into your toolkit, into your closet, that from a young age, from a child, and not underestimating the experiences that you have been able to gather throughout all your years up until this time. And also understanding what your skill level is that you have gained from these experiences in different areas of needs or expertise, and understanding when you need to outsource, because maybe, you know, you're just not a 10 on that scale of 1 to 10 of expertise, but maybe you're a 3. So broad experience is very important to be able to tap into, whether it's your own or those of others. 3, leveraging your network. So part of being able to tap into other experiences of other people includes having a network, being able to leverage that, ensuring that it's not just, I'm gonna drop that other gem or just sort of rewind and say it again, because it's not about how much resources you have, it's about how resourceful you are. And that network can come from anywhere. And 4, delivering results, not just results, but strong ones. You know how you do that? Manage the expectations, align on what success looks like, and ensure that, you know, there's nothing wrong with under-promising and over-delivering, because when things are outside your control, you're going to need to cash in those chips and say, hey, I need a little more time. But as long as you have managed the expectation and communication flow, that can still fall under delivering strong results.
So what should the people go do? So we gave them some, I mean, thank you. This has been informative. I took notes personally as an up and coming or aspiring entrepreneur. So what should people go and do after listening to this episode? And how can we hear from them after they've done something to make these gems theirs?
Yeah. So go ahead and make these gems yours. And you know how you can do that? I would start with just the basics. This is something that I do all the time because I've thought about, you know, what we could say to the audience, because it could be someone who has been, you know, in business for 5 years as an entrepreneur, or it could be someone who's, you know, just kind of toying around with the idea. So we're going to give you a little bit of homework, and that's to make a plan. And go back and listen to what I said the key points of making a plan were, so that you can ensure that, you know, you're getting it all down. Matter of fact, you know what? I'll just repeat it. Make sure that it's achievable. Make sure that it's a roadmap that includes not just the long-term vision, but what your day-to-day routine looks like. If you need to break it down hour to hour, but ensure that it's also a plan that works so that you can work it. Because sometimes things change and you need to go back to that plan and say, hey, you know, we need to make this achievable because right now it's not, and you rework it, which ties into those entrepreneurs who, you know, already have been in business. I challenge you and provide you with a little homework assignment. Also, go back to your plan. See if you're working this plan the way it's supposed to be worked. See if there's any way to optimize this plan in any way. So if you're a beginner, start and begin today, make a plan. And if you're an entrepreneur already in business, go back to the plan that you've made and see how you can optimize it. And email it to us. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know what your plans are. If you don't want to get into too much detail, that's fine, but send us some ideas. Send us what you're thinking. And of course, send us any questions you may have.
Yeah, you guys can hit us up at info@gemsforthejourney.org, and it will be in the show notes. So we'll make sure to give you all the contact information, but we would love to hear from you guys. So thanks, This has been
thanks,
amazing.
Lee.
Dropping gems.
Thank you to
today.
The audience.
So thanks, everybody. Thanks, we appreciate you taking the time with us today.
This was Leah Murphy and Amma Gordon. Thank you so much for listening. We hope this episode gave you some real gems that you can use on your own career journey. Come back for the next episode and be sure to follow us on social at Gems for the Journey on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can also email us at info@gemsforthejourney.org. That's info@gemsforthejourney.org. And let us know if you have any comments or questions.